inaugural founding sponsor and the sole sponsor for all of these past 12 years. And of all the many activities that Pfizer Animal Health undertakes, this is one of the activities that we're most proud of. So on behalf of Pfizer Animal Health, I want to welcome you to the Calamus College, and I'd like to turn it over to Alan, and Alan's going to introduce our first speaker. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you will, a round of applause for our sponsors. Pfizer does a lot for you. Jim, this is so lengthy, I'm going to have a hard time reading all. Jim Akers is a native of Hardin County, Kentucky, and a 1985 graduate of the University of Kentucky with a Bachelor of Science degree in Animal Science. After 15 years as a farm manager in Central Kentucky and Alabama, Jim made a career change in 2000. Since that time, Jim has been the Beef Extension IRM coordinator for the University of Kentucky, works with many projects, including the CPH-45, Leadership Development and Record Systems, as well as Information Technology. Jim also serves as supervisor for the Kentucky Beef Network Facilitators and is housed at the Kentucky Cattlemen's Association offices in Lexington. Currently, Jim is serving as the executive director of the Southeastern Livestock Network Limited Liability Corporation and is very active on several national committees addressing the development of the National Animal Identification System. He is a member of the NCBA Animal ID Commission, USAIP Cattle Working Group, USAHA State Standards Committee, specification subcommittees for both the Cattle Working Group and the NCBA Animal ID Commission. Jim and his wife, Dr. Christine, and daughter Elizabeth live in Paris, Kentucky, where they own and operate Paris Veterinary Clinic. Ladies and gentlemen, a warm welcome for Jim Akers.
This one work? Do we know? Oh, this is a point. Okay, that won't work. I'm not very good with microphones. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you all today, and want to go through just a handful of slides with you. I've got a couple goals here. Number one, I want you to leave understanding and knowing the uses of electronic ID and animal ID that have driven our involvement in the Southeast. I also want you to leave this room understanding a lot about the Southeast Livestock Network and how that group came together and what its functions and goals are. So with that said, I'm going to get right into it. I think if you look back over history, what brought me into this arena is an involvement and a use of this particular technology that we're talking about in the arena of value-added feeder calf marketing. That's what drove my career change. That's what brought us into the level of involvement that we currently have. And, you know, 5-6 years ago, I started using RFID technology as a more efficient way of moving around the country and managing feeder calf sales, to put it bluntly. We weren't storing data. We weren't collecting data. We were using it to manage feeder calf sales on a day at a market and moving on. And we got pretty good at that. And that has brought us into a lot of these other initiatives. We continue to be very aggressive and very active in operating those value-added feeder calf marketing systems in cooperation with our local auction barns and different producer groups scattered especially throughout Kentucky, but beginning to work with others around the region. We've recently got involved in some value-added slaughter cow marketing. It's a pretty intriguing project that effectively has been driven by demand in the marketplace. And we have taken what we've learned in that feeder calf marketing scenario and applied it to the slaughter cow trade and enabled a real market incentive to be driven back to our producers on a local basis because we're willing to identify those cows. There in Kentucky especially, and we've got some other states around the region that have got some really interesting farm-based projects going on, but one of the things we've got going on in Kentucky is a farm record-keeping project where we received a grant, and yes, it was out of tobacco money, as it's referred to, Ag Development Board money there in Kentucky out of the Phase 1 settlement, that has allowed us to work with and identify over 100 herds in the state, varying sizes, varying geography, varying marketing programs, breeds, and all those kinds of things. Move in there, tag those cow herds, and begin to explore the back-end value of this technology at the farm and ranch level. We've been able to accumulate a tremendous amount of very useful data on tag retention, readability. We've been able to explore a lot of different data collection mechanisms, everything from paper to the most high-tech forms you'll see in the trade show tonight and the rest of the week. That's been very interesting, and it's also allowed us to explore whether or not the everyday marketplace is ready to recognize credibly tagged animals and establish an elevated value for those. We're getting ready to operate a USDA-funded National Animal Identification System pilot project in the Southeast, and I'll tell you a little bit about that here in a few minutes. We do a good bit of work with carcass data programs, carcass data collection programs, using the technology to allow feeder calves that are sold in our part of the country to be tracked through feed yards to plants and return some valuable data back to our producers and allow them to not only identify what kind of product they produce, but make management changes and business decisions. We began this last fall working with the many value-added heifer marketing initiatives around our region. We've got a vast network of bred heifer sales, and we began to tag those bred heifers this last year and offer those heifers in those markets as origin verified, traceable to the farm of birth. And it was pretty amazing the acceptance that we got from producers and their willingness to pay a premium for those heifers that they could put into their herd and know that when they have to leave there 6, 7, 8, 10 years from now that they would have what we understand to be the basic level of compliance on those cows. Why was the SLN formed? It is an LLC, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about why we formed an actual LLC when this group came together, but the 10 cattlemen's associations in these southeastern states joined together about a year ago to form this organization. The LLC was formed for a little reason other than to provide us an ability to handle some grant funding, to allow us to have a nice, clean mechanism to be accountable for the money that we handled in those grants, to distribute that money in a nice, clean accounting system, and to put an umbrella in place that many, many different entities within our region can operate under. And it's modeled after the Beef Network in Kentucky. The decisions by that organization are made by a vast array of membership and representation from our Livestock Marketing Association, certainly the Cattlemen's Associations, producer leadership. Farm bureaus have been extremely active in a lot of those states. Certainly our animal health officials in all those states have been a key component to making that cohesiveness and the credibility of that organization work. And Extension, I've got to get a plug in for what brought me to this thing. Extension has played an important role. And as we look over time at the changing role and challenges that the Extension Service has gotten in delivering education, regional activities like this are certainly very important. The goals of this group are pretty simple. We wanted to make sure that we ensured some consistency across the region by facilitating communication, getting those state veterinarians or state animal health officials to talk on a regular basis so that there was some consistency in their delivery of the premise system, that the definition of that was understandable when you cross state lines, that the mechanism to get those was pretty consistent. And I've got to tell you, we've been very successful at that, I think. That communication has kept us from burning a lot of energy and a lot of funding reinventing the wheel over and over and over again in this process. We wanted to ensure that the concerns of all sectors of the production and marketing system were heard on the national scene. And we got really aggressive a little over a year ago in ensuring that the small producer, the smaller auction market in the Southeast, that our concerns and our challenges were heard on the national scene, and I think we've had an impact on that as well. This group also made a decision that it was very important that we provide an affordable and simple data system that allows producers in market an option, a flexible, definable system that they can access to meet the demand that's out there in our marketplace today, and one that's flexible enough to respond to the regulatory requirement as we understand that and move through time. We have that in place. We wanted to enhance the market potential and drive producer understanding and participation of this, because the last thing we need is yet one more disadvantage in the Southeast. We operate under a lot of disadvantages, and animal ID doesn't need to be one of them. We saw this as a great opportunity in working with small producers to allow them an opportunity to be on the cutting edge. Let's talk for a minute about some of these programs. Our value-added food cash sales, and I'm going to talk specifically about Kentucky's CPH 45 program because that's what I do for a living. EID gave us a nice, efficient means of managing those sales. We operate a tag distribution network out of our office there at the Beef Network in Kentucky. Those tags are traceable to those producers when they purchase them. Those animals show up at a market, go through a graded commingled sale setting. We'll typically do anywhere from 1,000 to 2,500 calves in a setting. Those animals are walked through reader systems, commingled, sold, source, age, process, verification is provided to those buyers on the back end, and that has been very, very nicely accepted, and those producers are sure getting rewarded for that. It gives us an ability to have a unique and standardized system of tracking animals without taking away the visual identity of that program. That CPH program has been in place for 25 years there in Kentucky. We've got a big blue visual ID tag that's got a logo on it that says KYCPH. There's a lot of folks around the country that have been buying those calves that recognize that blue tag, and the folks in our markets at home sure recognize it. We didn't want to lose that identity or that license plate on those calves. But it was not a good enough mechanism to allow us to have consistency in tracking those cattle once they left us. EID's given us that. EID has given us, along with the developing premise system, an ability to handle this information and appropriately share it with some security and with confidentiality to all the players in the marketing chain. Our value-added slaughter cow program that we've currently got going on that is actually a spinoff of the USDA pilot project, FPL Foods, formerly known as Shapiro Packing down in Augusta, Georgia, is the end product user for that program. They've been a very good partner to work with. They are currently offering a market incentive, a flat per head incentive for origin verifiable cows. The way the system works, the producer signs an affidavit when they arrive at the local auction market. We have a differential back tagging system that allows those cows that are origin verified to move through the market. We haven't changed anything about their procedure other than the differential back tag. If this particular buyer buys those origin verified cows, they are electronically ID'd on the back end of the system before the cows are shipped to protect us and the integrity of the data from the back tag loss that we experience in the trucking process. Those cows are read when they enter the plant, and those tags are retired in our system, so we have a full traceability chain of where those cows began and where they ended. Premiums are paid down through the system to incentivize the market, the buyer, the producer for participation in the program. We have been at this since mid-December. There's approximately 20 markets in the Southeast that are currently up and operating with this on a daily basis. We have gotten to the point with several of them where our connection with that market is completely hands-off. They're electronically transmitting their verification data on those cows into this regional system that's operational. The packing plant has the ability to go to that system and answer the question, is this cow in the system? Is she verifiable by our standards? They don't see anything else. They don't know who the producer is, what market the cow came out of, or anything else. The producer gets the benefit of being able to get some cutout data on their slaughter cows, and they're getting some premium in the marketplace. SLN does all the data management for that project as well. Our NAS pilot project will operate like this. Each of the 10 states is going to host at least one demonstrational sale, and there'll be an educational event to go along with that to explain not only the technology of RFID, but data collection systems that will work in a market, the SLN concept of how that data collection system can work for all of us out there in the industry and satisfy not only the regulatory requirement, but also the need in the market. We'll go into those markets, and we're going to do a lot of PR work ahead of time and encourage a lot of people to tag slaughter cows for those events before those animals come to the market. Many of you have heard me talk around the country about my concern of the burden that we could place on the auction market system if we don't do this right and we don't encourage and incentivize producers to tag these animals at home. We're going to try to do that to the best of our ability in this very small-scale pilot project. We will be unsuccessful at that in large part, I feel fairly certain. Therefore, we have built into this an incentive to allow us to tag those cows at the market so that we can demonstrate the mechanism. Those cows will be tracked through that market using the software at the market as the data collection tool. That market will report out of their system at the end of the day the necessary information to satisfy the regulatory requirement. It'll be housed in our regional data management system. And as things develop, how we handle that data from that point is yet to be defined. We have an ability to expose the necessary information to the animal health officials to allow them to put together a traceability chain on a particular animal that they may need to do that on. We also have a reporting capability. A lot of other things going on. I mentioned our farm record keeping program. We've currently got over 100 herds involved in that, several thousand animals there in Kentucky specifically that are tagged for farm management record keeping purposes. We're beginning to get some of those animals moving through our markets, and that's interesting because it helps us develop some of that infrastructure. It's just very, very important in the standardization that EID has allowed us to put in place in all these and ability to tie these records back. In summary, very quickly, SLN is working to ensure that the small producers in the markets in the Southeast are not disadvantaged by the implementation of ID. We feel very strongly about that, and we're going to work and fight very hard as we have over the past year for that. We want to make sure that Southeastern producers understand that they have an option. It's a very cloudy atmosphere out there when you walk into the trade shows and you look at all the different options that are out there in terms of tags, data management systems, data collection systems, theories on how all the upper ends of this whole situation are going to work. And we want the Southeastern producer to understand that they've got some leadership in place and they've got some folks that are on their side out there trying to put together systems that will work, regardless of what sector of the production or marketing process they're involved in. We've also been pretty adamant about setting some precedents out there about how reasonable the cost of this ought to be. What should be the market value of a RFID tag out there when we start talking about volume usage? What is the true value and the true cost of providing data management services? We've taken a lot of bullets for that, but I think we've been very effective in establishing a precedent that this does not have to be cumbersome, it does not have to be expensive, and there's no reason for this to put anybody out of business. We're going to keep doing that pretty hard, too. One other thing, and this is important right here at the bottom. I think it's important, and we have an opportunity to do this right now, to establish some of the business rules on data sharing. And how we're going to operate as a lot of information gets collected on the animals that we all trade from this point in history forward. There really aren't any rules there. We're kind of making them up as we go along. And I think it's important to have a cohesive group that represents all the players in the system at the table talking about that in our region. Because it's easy for a group of us that agree to get into a room and write a bunch of rules. But if there's opposition in the rest of the industry to that, we haven't accomplished much after we leave that room. We've just made each other feel really good. So we're trying to get everybody at the table, as difficult as that discussion is at times, and make sure that when we leave that room, we've got a business rule that we all can live with and support. I'm happy to answer questions for any of you when this is over. I'll certainly put my contact information up there, and you've got it in your packets. John Stevenson also works with me there at the Kentucky Beef Network, and Becky Bennett is a new staff support that we've got there. Both of them are heavily involved in all of these different projects. I would invite you to join us. We've got a booth set up in the trade show to explain our USDA pilot project and the mechanics of that, and some of the other producers that we serve, brochures that you're welcome to take home that explain how those projects work and the daily mechanics of them. And we'd be more than happy to visit with you. Thank you.
Any questions for Jim here? We've got time for a couple of questions. Otherwise, we'll move to Rick here directly, and then we'll take questions afterwards. If you have a couple of questions, step to the microphone, please.
Good morning. My name is Chris Beck. I'm from Seville, Ohio. Wanted to come out here. I always enjoyed attending Cattlemen's College. This question is directed to Mr. Akers about the availability for other states to be involved in the animal ID program. What other states did you mean by that?
The Southeastern Network encompasses, I'll try to name them all for you, and I hope I don't leave anybody out. Effectively, if you take the Mississippi River as a western boundary, Louisiana is the first state in the west, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, North and South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee are the ones directly involved in the project. We are not trying to put together a for-profit business that we intend to farm out and sell to other people. We're trying to provide a local solution there at home. I can tell you that already the work that we do has crossed a lot of state lines. We work with a lot of folks in your country. We work with a lot of folks scattered around the rest of the country because when we provide origin verification and important data that establishes value on the cattle, we don't have a feeding industry. So we work with a lot of folks scattered all over the country, and that's what I'm talking about of establishing those business rules. How are we going to do that? How are we going to let that value change hands to drive this thing, even though we're all doing some, maybe working with different people?
Exactly. My one last question is, where do you see the strongest growth in the Southeast, involving Southeastern producers, Southeastern states? Where do you see the strongest growth area?
Define growth for me. Where are you talking about?
Number of producers involved with the program, availability of information.
Well, what's driving, if you're talking about growth in the use of animal ID or electronic ID, the most rapid growth there is certainly in the value-added feeder calf marketing.
Okay.
And it's not rocket science to understand why. There's a very definable, very documentable value for those origin and age verified calves, especially since November.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's very easy to show folks that if you do this, this is what's going to happen.
Certainly.
And that's where we've seen the greatest demand from both ends of the system.
Mm-hmm.
People procuring those cattle, needing that information to establish a value and establish a position in the marketplace
mm-hmm.
for later on in this year and to keep their options open. And that's driving participation at the producer level. We've gotten to the point with some of our graded feeder calf sales that we've actually had to say we will only accept this many cattle on this day. I mean, we've had to cut some locations off and schedule other sale dates because we just can't run that many cattle through the door in a day's period of time. It's been pretty successful.
Very good. Well, I congratulate you on your program, and I thank you for your time. I'll be sure to stop off at your booth.
Further questions right now? There are evaluation forms in your packets. If you would fill those out, please, you can leave them at your seat or drop them off in the back when we're done. They are important to us at NCBA to help us define what we need to do at Cattlemen's College. They also help Pfizer in terms of what they need to be doing. So if you'd fill those out, it would be appreciated. We will have an opportunity for questions again after Rick, and then we can get both of these guys up here. Depending on how our time is going and how we're doing, if you have some questions on NCBA policy and what we're doing as an organization on animal identification, we'll try and answer those questions as well, and I'll certainly work on that. Our next speaker is Rick Stott. Rick is the Vice President of Business Development and Regulatory Affairs of AgriBeef Company, headquartered in Boise, Idaho. AgriBeef is a diversified natural resource-based company operating in 10 states with approximately 1,000 employees. The business is comprised of feedlot operations, a packing plant, feed supplement production, livestock trading, and cow-calf operations. Rick is a fifth-generation cattleman. He graduated with a bachelor's and master's in accounting from Brigham Young University and is a certified public accountant. He is a member of several professional and community organizations, including the NCBA, Idaho Cattlemen's Association, and Idaho Society of Certified Public Accountants. Rick is currently serving as the chairman of the 7-State Northwest Animal Identification Pilot Project. Prior to joining AgriBeef in 1994, Rick was the U.S. Financial Product Manager for International Business Systems based in Stockholm, Sweden. He was responsible for all the business operations, sales, and software development of the financial packages for the United States market. If you would, welcome Rick Stock.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciated what Jim had to say. It was encouraging to hear what's going on around the rest of the country and the challenges that are so similar for all the cattlemen. It's encouraging to see the different aspects that are going on across the nation with cattlemen in this animal ID program. And we're excited to see the developments that are happening, some of the struggles that we all face, what's coming down and what's being to some degree imposed upon us, in some degree giving us an opportunity to define what our future is going to be. And that's kind of how our pilot program started. Is about a year ago, we started talking with the Northwestern Cattle Association members and started hearing the same concerns that the folks in Idaho were seeing in the development of the pilot program. And so we started talking about an understanding that there may be some money available provided by the USDA. We put together a march on to Washington, D.C., so to speak, went and visited Keith Collins and Bill Hawks, talked to them about what we thought a pilot program should be about. We were told before we came that there wasn't much of a chance that a bunch of cattlemen would get any money from the USDA, that it was going to be primarily directed towards state veterinarians to develop their premise systems. When we went and presented what our concerns and issues were, our feedback after that trip was very positive. We heard some great things from the folks in D.C. about what we had proposed, and so they encouraged us to submit a grant. So in July, we put together a grant application to submit our proposal. In August, we were pleased to find out that we were one of the 29 grants that were provided for the USAIP, or National Animal Identification System Pilot Project. And then in November of 2004, we were funded. And since November 1st, we've been working on the project and full time, trying to develop what the kind of goals and objectives were. We had a real struggle, really encouraged by what we saw. We were like this guy here, trying to bring home some money to develop some things, and we were encouraged that maybe we were going to get something, and pretty excited about what's going to happen. And then we got funded. And we got funded, and we were kind of like this guy, where we had this whale come up and just chomp on us. And now we have to do something. We can't complain anymore. We can't whine and gripe about where it's going and where it's headed, because part of the responsibility is now upon us, the cattle associations, and the cattlemen within this region to help influence the process. And so we put together a coalition of folks, including the dairy industries, the cattle industries, the bison industries in this region in 7 states, and it includes Hawaii, California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, and Utah. In these 7 states, we have all of the beef associations, all the dairy associations engaged in this thing. We've got the Department of Agriculture, particularly the veterinarians, the brand boards. We've also included at Washington State University and UC Davis, which is our testing facilities for animal diseases. Those are our two regional testing facilities, and they're pretty excited about being engaged in this project to be able to trace back, because they have a concern that when they test the samples off the kill floor or wherever they're collecting the samples, can they trace that back as they're supposed to? University extensions are involved, and the Alberta Cattle Associations are engaged in this as well, both the cattlemen and the cow feeders, if and when the Canadian border ever opens. The objectives, when we sat down and we decided, okay, what are our objectives going to be? And first is that we wanted to have producer-driven solutions, that these needed to be something that the producers supported because it's part of the way they would solve the problem. The second thing is that we wanted to have a hands-on trial. We just didn't want to have a test tube kind of a trial, take a segment out of what needed to be resolved. We wanted to look at what the entire system was and take real scenarios and apply that to a project. And then we wanted to test multiple ID. We just didn't want to test a particular ID, the EID or anything. We wanted to take a look at visual tags. We wanted to look at optical reading. We wanted to take a look at brand or group lot and not really decide or define a specific type of identification. So with that in mind, we wanted to track cattle across multiple states and across multiple national borders as well, particularly from herd of origin all the way through processing. So what we're focusing on is feeder cattle, so that we could see when they were born and then when they were slaughtered in the entire process. Critically, we wanted to be able to have auditable trail. So we just didn't want to collect the information, but we wanted to be able to go back and analyze exactly how accurate and how effective these identification processes were throughout the from birth to death. And then we wanted to help and help the state veterinarians populate their premise ID systems and help them develop that. Like Jim's project, and I appreciate what he said about trying to get the state veterinarians together and decide what premise definitions were across the region. And that's a real struggle to do that. But to help them in that process, to provide them with real producers and real folks that have to register premises and help them populate their premise systems. And of course, the associations themselves are doing outreach programs and education. Since November 1st, we've spoken to about 2,000 people since November 1st about this project and about the National Animal Identification System. And it's been really interesting, and the interest is very high in this program. When we got together in Boise, Idaho, we put together a board of directors that included all seven states and every segment of the industry. And we outlined two goals. This is kind of our mission statement. And the first one is that this National Animal Identification System needs to be workable, reasonable, and practical for producers. And you heard Jim talk a lot about that, about the importance of that, because it has to be easy for producers to use, and that way the compliance to the project is high because there's no barriers to that compliance as much as possible. And the second thing, most importantly, is that it has to meet the criteria of the USDA of 48-hour traceback. And there's a lot of identification systems that are out there. And you're talking about in the Western United States, brucellosis identification systems. But it takes a lot longer than 48 hours to trace animals back. And so that became a criteria for the success of this project. So as we gathered up the information from the seven states, we tried to figure out how many animals we needed to have within this project to make a success, to have enough population. So we came up with these numbers, which basically came up with about 27,000 head. To date, we have registered in the system about 12,000 to 14,000 animals. We have committed to the program well over that. And so we've only been doing it since